This is Stateside. I'm April Baer. Earlier in the year, we had a lovely conversation with the talented singer-songwriter May Erlewine, who, like the rest of Michigan's musical community, is dealing with prohibitions on live shows, not being able to gather in groups with other musicians. She's already put out one well-reviewed album this year, but May is never one to shirk from a challenge. She surprised her fans with a brand new holiday album this month, entitled A Simple Phrase, that includes her takes on some classics. And she joins us now. May Erlewine, welcome back to Stateside.
Thanks so much for having me.
Boy, the last time we spoke, there were still leaves on the trees and it was nice and warm. How are things going? What have things been like for you since then?
Wow, yeah. I remember I talked to you and then went for like a kayak out in the lake. And so, yeah, different realm now with the snow on the ground. I'm hanging in there, you know. It's a wild, wild time and everybody's sort of making the best of it. And I feel grateful to have the support I have, but I'm just kind of hunkered down at home. Don't see very many humans and just kind of waiting this thing out.
Do you find yourself feeling more isolated since the weather turned?
You know, it's been such a weird season shift that it's just starting to feel like the snow is here and winter is upon us. So I haven't totally gotten that like deep winter blues thing yet, but I've been bracing myself for it. So I feel okay so far. So far, so good.
Yeah. This moment can be a curse or a blessing for artists, depending on their situation. You've been so busy. As we mentioned, we had in May a release from you, the harmony-laden The Dreams That Hold This Child, with your vocal group, the Sweetwater Warblers. That's you and Rachel Davis and Lindsay Liu and Mae DeVitri. And then in August, when we talked to you, you just dropped this jazzy, soulful release that you made with the Woody Goss Band called Anyway. And now this new record. Let's take a little listen to one of the tracks.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, your troubles will be out of sight.
Why did you want to drop a holiday album this year?
Well, you know, to be totally honest, I would never have planned on doing that. I've kind of always thought, oh, I don't think I'll ever make a holiday record that's actually holiday Christmas songs. But my friend and manager, every meeting we had for months, at the beginning of the meeting, she would be like, so how are you feeling about making a holiday record? And she just was very persuasive and just like continuing to invite the idea. So I kept thinking about it, and I said, I'm just trying to get my mind around if I can do it authentically. And then I was doing a live show, and I asked those that were listening, hey, if I put out some music for this holiday season, would you rather it be like, you know, Christmas music covers or like some other material that I come up with? And everybody just freaked out about the idea of a holiday record. Like, it was almost unanimous, like 300 people were just like commenting and asking. And so I was like, wow, people just really want this. And I like holiday music. I'm not one of those people who can't, you know, handle listening to it. And so I thought, well, you know, I think I'll just make a really mellow kind of comforting blanket of holiday tunes that I love that are, you know, more like secular stuff and see how it goes. And so I borrowed a classical guitar and kind of went after it in my house by myself, and it was a really sweet process, actually. I enjoyed it very much.
I wanted to ask you a bit about your orientation to holiday music. I mean, what kind of stuff was on in your house when you were a kid?
When I was growing up, the main Christmas record that I remember was, well, there was two. There was Vince Guaraldi's. The other one was Phil Spector's Christmas, which is like all these sort of like groovy soul Christmas songs by the LA peeps. And that album I still listen to every Christmas. It's so good. It's just like really fun. And so those two were the main ones, I think.
At the same time, your own musical style is more folk influenced, a little more of the American primitive edging on the sound. Why did you, I mean, there is the practical matter of just being able to record yourself, but what kind of vibe and what kind of treatment did you think you wanted to lay on these songs?
Well, there was the reality of just not being able to go in the studio simply and safely. And when I thought about Christmas music in general, there's a lot of like super big band, upbeat, like fully fleshed out, like produced songs. That's like kind of a lot of what you can grab if you grab Christmas record, the bells and the, you know, just the whole thing. And so I realized that I often reach for some of the more stripped down ones that are like just the guitar instrumental. Like I love, my friend Lyle Brewer has a beautiful Christmas record called Silver Bells, and it's just him playing guitar. John Fahey has one too. And so those are the ones I really love, because you put them on and you get to chill, and they're sort of like the background of your gathering or your celebrating or, you know, whatever, your Christmas present wrapping. And so I thought, you know, I want to do that, but also with singing. And I sort of modeled a lot of the sounds after one of my favorite records. It's the Getz Gilberto. It's just like a lot of like kind of reverb and very stripped down. And it's like the voice is very, very present. The guitar is very warm and almost a little like boomy. And it's just like, so we kind of like created, we listened to that as a reference for the tracks and the piano sounds. And obviously I'm not either of those people, but we use that as a reference for just those stripped down, beautiful sounds.
How did you pick the songs?
It was hard. I spent like a month just trying to pick the songs, and I picked them. I made a list of ones that I love that didn't have a strong like religious leaning, and they were more just about the holiday and being together. And so I knew I wanted to lean that way, especially if I was doing actual Christmas songs, which I'd never done. And so I just started going through and making a list, and there were some that just kind of pulled on my heartstrings. And then after I made the list and kind of narrowed down the ones like that I had an achy feeling about, like, oh, I love that one. Like, I just love that song. Then I tried to play them all and just kind of felt out how they would feel being sung in a solo, just instrument voice situation. And so I kind of picked the ones that I felt like would work well for what I was planning to do. And then just, you know, came down to those that I picked. And then I added one that isn't a Christmas song at all, but that I thought would be nice for the times that we're in.
Yeah. You know, looking at the tracks on this, you have, you know, perfectly cheerful songs like Silver Bells on here. But also you included some of what I would consider the Christmas weepers. There's I'll Be Home for Christmas, which is so full of longing.
I'll be home for Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree.
The one that just brings me to my knees every time, Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. But I have to say, your treatment on all of these is so hopeful. Was that something that you were thinking about as you were doing the vocal interpretations on these?
I think I feel like these, a lot of them are more of the like, yeah, like longing sort of not as simple Christmas songs as far as the sentiments, which is probably why I'm drawn to them being a songwriter. And my vocal interpretation was not really intentionally happy, but I really just wanted it to be very calming and peaceful and easy to listen to. Like that was my whole goal with the whole thing, is like everybody's anxiety is so high during this season in general, especially this year. And so I really wanted to just provide some really consistent, calm energy. And so that's the space I went to when I was singing these songs. And I also slowed them way down. So like they're all just like extremely chill. And so that was kind of what I was reaching for with the vocal. And it was a nice space to be in for me too.
Have you had some difficult moments this holiday season? It's obviously a time to count blessings and, you know, do some things that are fun. But seasonal holiday blues is a real thing. And I know a lot of people are really feeling it this year.
Yeah. You know, In 2012, I lost my best friend. His birthday's today, and he passed away 2 days after his birthday, and I went to his funeral over the holiday. And ever since then, I just really was shifted into understanding like how different the holidays feel when you have a significant event like that in your life, whether it be around the holidays or not. It's like if people are experiencing any sort of grief or loss, or family dynamics, then the holidays are just this kind of, you know, almost raise the volume of those things that are sometimes troubling, because it puts a lot of pressure on everything. And so I noticed that after losing my friend and going through my divorce, like when you're living a sort of non-traditional life that doesn't fit into the holiday picture, then the holidays all of a sudden can become like this trigger or a lot of pressure. And so that's when I started doing the Motivations Dance Parties, was for that reason. So it's something I've been thinking about for a while now. And then knowing just everybody is at capacity with their sort of being stretched emotionally right now with the pandemic and political climate we've been in. So I feel like it's very real. And for me, it's sort of always a little bit of a process getting through December. But since I have my beautiful daughter and she has so much joy with this season, I feel grateful to be able to lean into that with her and kind of create the Christmas magic. And so it's both, you know, for me.
Yeah. You know, we're still in this limbo where there are not live shows, or if there are, they're outside and everybody's very muffled and maybe standing next to something that's burning. And there is no tour right now. And that's obviously such a huge hit to all artists. I just kind of wondered what your hopes are for 2021, what your expectations are, and what you're planning for. I mean, are you thinking you might be able to do shows and festivals this summer?
You know, it's so hard to say. And people are planning and trying to book stuff. I just decided to wait. And so I'm sort of a wait and see person. And so we're not booking things right now. And I'm just going to see what happens. And when it feels really safe for me to do that, like, I don't really want to play shows unless I really feel like it's safe for people to be present, knowing that not everybody is as precautious with their social distancing. So I just feel a lot of responsibility and haven't done anything this whole time. And so I just want to wait till it really feels like it's okay. And so I'm just waiting and going to continue my live shows. I have Patreon I'm very active with and is very supportive. I'm making more music. And this winter, I'm hoping to launch a songwriting course online for people to participate in. So just kind of trying to stay busy in the ways that feel safe right now. And then we'll see if and when it's safe this summer to do some live shows, then I will.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
May Erlewine's new holiday album is called A Simple Phrase. May, it's so good to hear from you. Thank you so much.
You too. Thanks so much.
Arts and culture coverage on Stateside is supported in part by an award from the Michigan Council for Arts and Cultural Affairs. Ring-a-ling, hear them ring, soon it will be Christmas Day. City sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday.